Gathered this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Creator of the fruitful earth, you made us stewards of all things. Give us grateful hearts for all your goodness and steadfast wills to use your bounty well, that the whole human family, today and in generations to come, may with us give thanks for the riches of your creation. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
A reading from the book of Joel. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. nature de la livre de Timothée. Je recommande donc avant tout que l'on fasse des demandes, des prières, des supplications, des actions de grâce pour tous les hommes, pour les rois et tous ceux qui détiennent l'autorité, afin que nous menions une vie calme et paisible en toute piété et dignité. Voilà ce qui est beau et agréable aux yeux de Dieu notre Sauveur, qui veut que tous les hommes soient sauvés et parviennent à la connaissance de la vérité. Car il n'y a qu'un seul Dieu, un seul médiateur, aussi entre Dieu et les hommes, un homme, Christ Jésus, qui se donne en rançon pour tout. Tel est le témoignage qui fut rendu au temps fixé et pour lequel j'ai été, moi, établi, héros et apôtre. Je dis vrai, je nomme pas, mon pas, docteur des nations dans la foi et la vérité. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
This is why I am telling you not to be troubled about getting enough to eat or drink or what to wear. Is eating, drinking, and clothing yourself all there is? Does your life not have more meaning than this? Look to the winged ones who soar on the wind. Do they plant seeds and gather the harvest into a storehouse? No, but your Father from above gives them plenty to eat. Do you not know he cares even more for you? Can you not worry? Can worry add even one more step to the length of your life's journey? Why do you trouble yourself with what to wear? Have you seen how the wildflowers grow in the plains and meadows? Do you think they work hard and long to clothe themselves? No. I tell you, not even the great chieftain stands in peace, wearing his finest regalia, was dressed as well as even one of these. If Creator covers the wild grass in the plains with such beauty, which is here today and gathered for tomorrow's fire, will he not take even better care of you? Why is your fate so small? There is no need to say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? This is what the nations who have lost their way have given their hearts to. But your Father from above knows you need these things. If you will make Creator's good road your first aim, representing his right ways, he will make sure you have all you need for each day. The Gospel of Christ.
May the light of the Creator fill us with love. Amen. When I meet with families to plan a wedding or a funeral, I ask them, "So what scriptures would you like?" And there are some that they just are at a loss, and they say, "Oh, you just pick them for us." And then there are others that they have thought it through, and they know specifically which readings they want. And so I have these, you know, these two experiences, and then some that they think, "Well, isn't there a part where Jesus says this?" And we go looking at it, and we realize, well, that will be a hard reading to use because, yes, he says that, but there are a bunch of other things he says too. And so we realize that we can't just take any scripture and fit it on any day. Now, Thanksgiving, we do have assigned readings for Thanksgiving. And so I didn't choose these readings, but in a way they're perfect and in a way they're challenging. You hear from the prophet Joel about the abundance that God promises even though there have been hard times in the past. And in the second reading, we are encouraged to pray and to be grateful in our prayers. It's in the gospel, though, that I kind of want to be like Jacob wrestling with the angel and figure out, why is this a reading that fits with our pumpkins and sweet potatoes and carrots and apples? It's a reading about worrying and how it's counterproductive. I think that we have to back up to get there. That little piece about worrying is part of a bigger presentation that we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has come down the side of the hill and he sits down and there's a gathering of a whole bunch of people. There are his chosen disciples, but a big crowd in addition to them, and he sits down. And you're deliberately meant to think of Moses coming down from the side of the mountain and sitting down and giving what he has experienced from God on high. It's intended that you'll think about that. Although for the people of Jesus' time, their most recent memory would have been John the Baptist doing this at the edge of the water and inviting people in to be baptized. So Jesus is sitting down at the side of the mountain, and he begins with another, I would say famous among Christians, another famous passage. that begins, "Blessed are the poor." It's called the Beatitudes. It's often chosen for weddings and funerals, but that's just the beginning of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, an extended several chapters in which Jesus gives a perspective on how to live. He talks about how to pray. He talks about fasting. He talks about situations we might find ourselves in and how we would handle them. And then he comes to this passage about worrying that ends with, as you heard it in the First Nations version, it's expressed really beautifully. If you will make Creator's good road your first aim, representing his right ways, he will make sure you have all you need for each day. So that's lovely. But the part that I'm challenged by is, where does worrying fit with this? After all, Jesus may say that the birds of the air don't worry and the lilies of the field don't worry. But I did see a songbird carried off by a hawk. And so I'm not so ready to say that the birds aren't capable of worrying. And I know that the plants that produce flowers, they did have to do photosynthesis, which is a kind of work. And so I want to wrestle with this idea that both the flowers and the birds are worry-free. So I have to step back even again. This week, I joined the people of Temple Israel, the synagogue, for Yom Kippur. It is their annual confession of their sins and trust in God's forgiveness. There's a lead-up of their new year, which they call Rosh Hashanah, and then a period of time in which they're to call to mind anyone that they've wronged and seek the forgiveness of that person. The service takes place over 2 days, so it was Friday and Saturday, and it begins with praise and a lot of passages about God's love. For those who want to do a generalization that the Jews don't talk about God's love, they certainly do. But the service is full of different versions of confession of the ways that people have fallen short. And then they enter into a fast of 25 hours where you don't eat anything and you don't drink anything. And you come back for further confession and this hearing of trust that God forgives. It's a beautiful journey. And in it, there's something about why do we live the law? And for Jews, there's something about living the commandments that gives them their identity as God's people, as the Jews who are God's people. I think in the time of Jesus, there were many non-Jews who would come and hear the law and think, oh, but do I have to earn God's love by doing all these things? And so if we're not very familiar with Judaism, we might actually come from that perspective of, oh, is God someone who loves me, or do I have to earn that love? Do I have to achieve and be good enough to have God's love? And the Sermon on the Mount is where Jesus shows us that it's not about that. Don't worry about whether you need to achieve God's love. This week, I'm in this phase of my life where I am doing the 10,000 steps every day. And some of you may do it. I referenced it because our stewardship campaign is called Walk in Love. And I walk my 10,000 steps, and some days I'm just looking, I'm doing people watching, and other days I need some music in my earbuds or a podcast. So I was listening to a podcast about a novel that I read, and the novel's not important at all. But in this story, there's a main character who is a guy who has some challenges, and he has a platonic friendship with a woman. He has a woman friend, And she just accepts him for who he is. Now, the podcast author seems to think it's unusual for a man and a woman to be friends. I think I live in a different world from that. I think that, you know, we're beyond that. We can be friends with whoever wants to befriend us. But the podcaster, a non-religious person, says, this character of the woman who accepts this man as he is intended to be a parallel to God's grace, because God freely loves us without us having to earn love. And it so surprised me that a non-religious person would bring that into a story about friends who love each other as they are, that it's really stayed with me, because if we are friends with each other like that, in that way that models grace, we will be able to appreciate that God's grace is to love us already, and we don't have to earn God's love, and we don't have to worry about whether we have God's love. But you can say that as a concept, or you can experience it from other people. So in this Thanksgiving time, I want to encourage you to be thankful for your friends. I want to encourage you to think about your conditions on friendship, whether you have them, or whether you can model God's grace by loving your friends as they are. And your friends will come to know God's grace because they know you and love you. And if we can do that, we're going to worry less. We're going to worry less about who has our back. We're going to worry less about who sits down with a meal for us. And so let us thank God today for the harvest of many kinds, but especially the harvest of good relationships, unconditional love, and beautiful friends. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. Creator, provider, sustainer, we thank you this morning that your love is for all of us, and in you we can love all. Thank you that you remind us in meaningful ways that we are your body. At this time of thanksgiving, we are grateful for all you give us. We are grateful for one another. We thank you for our community. As we pray this morning, we ask for your blessing and your strength in our lives together as we say together, Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for Shane, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan and acting primate, and Chris, our Indigenous archbishop. Sustain them and guide them as they lead us as we pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Comfort those in need of healing in their lives and in the lives of those they love. Bring peace to those facing death and grief. We remember especially those in need of healing and peace known to us this morning as we pause. We pray especially for the family and loved ones of Sarah Whitehead. Bring peace to them as they gather to celebrate her life in the days ahead. We remember today Robert and Isabel Cameron and Eileen and Homer Thomas, in whose memory the flowers and decorations have been given by Brian and Margot Cameron. We ask your sustaining grace for Ted, Diana, Pat, and Wilma. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for the nations of this world, and especially for those locked in combat with many people suffering. Soften hearts, we pray, and bring peace and justice to those desperate for both. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our nation of Canada and those who serve and lead nationally, provincially, and locally. Grant them wisdom, we pray, and boldness in doing right. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the ministries of Belong Ottawa, especially at this time when want is felt so keenly. We pray for those without homes and the assurance of regular meals. We pray for the Centertown Food Bank. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts as we go through these next few days to see opportunities to love and to serve others. Lord, hear our prayers. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Serve the Lord.